Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Nate. I'm a pastor here at Sunnyside Wesleyan. I'm a pastor of Spiritual Formation and Youth Ministry. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a regular attendee, you're also welcome. I have the privilege this morning of introducing us to our new mini-series. Over the next few weeks in July, we will be walking through a series called The Body. Looking at the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? What does the body of Christ do? And what does that mean for us in our lives as the body? So this morning we're going to be looking at Romans 12, 1 to 8. So I'll invite you, if you have your own Bibles, whether physical or on your phone, you can flip there or open that app, or you can follow along on the screen. But I'll give you a couple of seconds to just find that if you wish to read it on your own device. Okay, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these many members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have all different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to be led, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. So, when we come to Romans 12, verses 1 to 8, there are three areas of focus that we're going to look at this morning. These three areas that we're going to kind of unpack a little are transformation, unification, and participation. I'll say it one more time. Transformation, unification, and participation. Ooh, I like that. Everybody was saying it with me. Good participation, guys. But we're not quite there yet. So let's start with our first one, transformation, which we see in Romans 12, 1 to 2. But before we do that, I want to tell you about my dog. Now, I've told some of you about Sam and I's dog, Oswald, but I wanted to show you Oswald. And you can see here that when we got him, he was this cute little fluffy thing. there's my wife going, in the crowd. And then he kind of started to grow a little, and he became this lanky Velociraptor. And now, this is what he looks like. He's about, we're not quite sure what he weighs, but we know it's over 100 pounds. He's a huge dog. To show you kind of his size, here's some pictures. Sam put this one up because she just thought it was really cute. But you can see how big he is. He's sitting beside me here. He's almost, when I'm on my knees in this picture, at my head, and he's almost looking Sam in the eye in this picture. And these were taken about a year ago, so he's even bigger than this. But what this shows you is that he went from this little fluffy fluff ball to this big, strong dog. So much so that when we take him for a walk, it goes like this. Yes. And I actually have to take our braided leash and wrap it around my arm. But something happened just this week. Sam and I went out to PetSmart and we got what's called a gentle leader. And for those of you who might not know what a gentle leader is, it's this kind of almost secondary leash. And what a gentle leader does is it wraps around the kind of snout of the dog and then also has a leash attached to its neck. And so you hold its regular leash and then you hook a leash to that. And every time the dog pulls, it goes like this. And it gets annoyed and it stops pulling. And so we went out, we bought a gentle leader because I was tired of going like this, walking him. And I was tired of wrapping the leash around my arms. And we put the gentle leader on him, and Oswald was quite annoyed at first, and it was quite funny. And then we took him out to walk, and Sam, who never walks Oswald, I'm the one who walks Oswald, was like, I'm going to do it today. And Sam, who is a right-handed person, took the leash with her left hand and began walking Oswald. And I was expecting her to fall on her face. As probably some of you are going, well, she's going to fall on his face because if Nate goes like this. But we saw something incredible. Oswald began to simply just walk and not pull. There was slack in his leash. I mean, it was a 5-minute walk, but it was a walk nonetheless. And he didn't really pull. He kind of got the knack of it. Because what we began to see is a transformation in Oswald. In Romans 12, 1-2, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, Romans is a book written by the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is writing to his church plant that is in Rome. And any time we read Paul, he does this really good thing of connecting everything that he's talking about. He says things like, therefore, or he'll say, for. And what that kind of is a hint for the readers or the listeners is, look at what's coming before. So if we look at Romans 11, which I'm not going to read for you because we just don't have the time this morning. But if we look at Romans 11, what we begin to see is Paul is describing this unique thing. He's talking to a church that is Jewish and Gentile Christians. And what he says to them is, Jews, you are the chosen people of God, but through the sacrifice of Christ, the door has now been opened to the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish. If we lived in this time, we would be considered Gentiles. And Paul says, he uses this metaphor of an olive tree, and he says, the olive tree now has branches that are grafted into it because of the mercy of God. And that's why he says in Romans 12, 1-2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. God's mercy is a result of being entered into this olive tree of God. What we see is he says, the how. How do we become part of this body, this olive tree? We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation that begins to happen when we begin to experience the mercy of God, the grace of God. Our minds begin to change. Our lives begin to change. This is why I gave you the example of Oswald. We saw a transformation in him. It's similar to us. We begin to see a transformation in us as well. We begin to become someone completely different. Paul reiterates this in his letter to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 17, when he says, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." You become transformed. We become transformed in the mercy of God, so much so that we are not the person we used to be. It's almost like we're unrecognizable to the person we once were as a result of this mercy transformation. It's sort of like, have any of you watched Princess Diaries? Okay, I see a couple hands. I would like to see more. Go and watch it. It's a really great movie. It's from the early 2000s. My wife loves it. And there's this really, really cool scene in that movie that kind of shows a visual. I'm a visual person. If you can't tell, I always use slides. A visual of transformation. And I could describe it for you, but as I was trying to describe it for my wife, she went, "Nate, you're doing a terrible job. Just put the movie up."
By the way, this, and give you a princess.
There's a complete transformation. Sorry. Can you pause that, Rachel? There's a complete transformation in this frizzy-haired kind of teenager to a princess. She's almost unrecognizable, so much so that later on in the movie, she's like wearing a hat to cover up her hair, and then she takes off her hat, and all the girls at school go, "Whoa, is that you?" There's this transformation. She's unrecognizable, and this is the same thing that happens to us. We don't all become princesses, sorry. But there's this transformation from worldliness to growing in Christ-likeness. This transformation of thinking like the world does and beginning to think like Christ does. In other words, it's a myself transformation into others kind of perspective and viewpoint. We begin to think less of ourselves and we begin to think about others, for others. It's like what Christ said when he said, "Love others as you would love yourself." This transformation begins to happen. Douglas Moo, who's a commentator, said it in this way: a new orientation of thinking leads to a new orientation of behavior. We don't just think about others, but we begin to actually behave in a way where we're caring about others. It's not all about me, myself, and I. It's about us. And what begins to happen is when you begin to say, "You know what? I have a prayer request." God does this incredible thing in people where people who are beginning to become transformed, beginning to become Christ-like, they go, "Can I pray for you?" This transformation begins to happen, an incredible thing. And what's the outcome? In Romans 12, 1 to 2, at the very end of verse 2, it says, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, this isn't, Paul's not saying like, "Oh, you know, I don't believe in God, you know, what he can actually do, so I'm going to put him to the test." It's not actually what he's saying. What he's saying is in this transformation, you begin to think like God. You begin to see the results of this thinking. Your mind becomes transformed to a mind of Christ. This is the first step, becoming part of the body. The next is unification in Romans 12, 3 to 4. And this is what it says. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body, so many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Woo! Sorry. A little quick on my draw there with the clicker. I want to tell you a story about Camp Carruth. Now, there is a Camp Carruth close to Ottawa, Camp Carruth Lanark. It's not that one. It's the better one. No, they're both great. They're both great. I grew up going to Camp Carruth Walkerton, which is in southwestern Ontario. And I became a staff member there. And one year, one day, I was talking with two of my other friends who were on staff there. I was a counselor that year. I had a friend who was working in the kitchen, and I had a friend who was working on maintenance. And we began to have this discussion of who's better. And I said, you know what? I'm a counselor. My job's the most important at camp. You know, I teach the kids about Jesus. And really, you know, I'm a pastor, so I think that's the most important thing, is teaching people about Jesus. Go figure. So it's like, I have the most important job at camp. I'm teaching them about Jesus. I'm doing devotions with them. I'm helping them memorize verses. And my friend who worked in the kitchen went, I don't know, because if you didn't have the kitchen, you wouldn't have the energy to do that. Because I'm the one who makes the food, Nate. Come on. And then my friend who worked in maintenance looked at us and went, you got this wrong. It's me. Because if I didn't work on maintenance, if maintenance didn't exist, you wouldn't even have a camp. Things would shut down, bathrooms would be disgusting, the grass would grow really long, it wouldn't get caught. Maintenance is the most important job. And we began to, you know, go back and forth and say, well, but. And then we ended the conversation with going, you know what? Maybe all our jobs are the most important. Maybe it's not necessarily one over the other. Maybe it's this unified thing. You see, what we began to understand is we were all cogs in this great big machine called Camp Carruth. Because if you take one cog out of a machine, and we've seen it kind of in cartoon things where one cog is taken off, and the machine completely breaks down. Each gear is important, intrinsic to the function, to the working of the machine. And it's similar to the body of Christ. Just as each of you, Paul says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. We all have bodies, but our bodies also have minds and hearts and fingers and toes and legs, all these different parts that work in unison, so much so that, you know, you're breathing. You don't even think about your breathing, but your mind does. And so this is what Paul's saying, is there's all these different things that go on to make your body work, but they work in unison with each other. And if one didn't work, if one thought, you know, I'm the most important. If my hand went, I'm the most important body part, then my hand would go, okay, I'm going to walk. I'm going to talk. But wait, I have no mouth and I have no legs. I can't get very far. I don't have a heart in my hand, do I? I have a heart here. And the heart is the one that pumps the blood to my hands. And the feet is what gets my hands around. They work in tandem. They work with one another. And this is what Paul begins to say. The body of Christ is this very unique thing. He reiterates this in 1 Corinthians 12, which Simon so amazingly read for us. I feel like, and Sam actually leaned over to me and went, just feels so much more legit when a British person reads scripture. Now, I don't know if you have like a Bible app, but like if you put the Bible app on like audio and you pick the British person, anyways. I won't imitate you, Simon. I'll just read it in my normal voice. voice. Just as, this is what Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Then he says to the church, this is still Paul talking to the church in Ephesus, he says, from him, meaning Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Many parts, one body. We're all in this together. And that transformation that we just talked about begins to transform our mind to think that. We begin to think less about ourselves and more about each other. We begin to work as a unified body, many parts, one body. In Christ, we as believers are united and tied together. This is so important for us to understand. N.T. Wright, who's a theologian, pastor, and a commentator, says it this way. The unity is not simply based on a general belief that everyone matters. It is based on the fact that Christians all have the same faith in Jesus as the risen Messiah and Lord. However different people may be in temperament, background, calling, and ability, all Christians share this faith, and it is the ground of their unity and cooperation. It's not simply just enough to say, yeah, I care about others. What ties us together is the transformation of becoming Christ-like. What ties us together is the mercy of God. This then falls into our next area of focus, participation. Romans 12, 6, 1 to 8. A great way of looking at unification and participation is the story in Mark 2, which is the paralytic being lowered down into the room to be healed by Jesus. And we don't get a lot of dialogue on the kind of four stretcher bearers. But what we can see is these stretcher bearers worked as a unified unit. They worked together. They participated in getting this man to Jesus. Because if one guy went, oh no, I'm going to lower when I want to lower. And another guy went, well, I'm not ready yet. That guy would just flip off, and then Jesus would have to do a whole nother healing. Wouldn't be the story of the paralytic, it'd be the story of the paralyzed, broken back man. But they worked in participation with each other. They worked in unity with each other. And this is what Paul is talking about too. We need to work as a unified body like these guys did. They worked as one. In Romans 12, 6, 1 to 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul's saying there are so many different gifts that God has given to us through his mercy. So many different members in the body. But if we work as one with these gifts, if we begin to go, you know what? My gift is to serve. And I'm not just going to serve myself. I'm going to begin to serve Chris. I'm going to begin to serve Janice. What begins to happen, and then Chris goes, well, you know, my gift is to teach, which I think it is. And he goes, I'm not just going to sit in my office and read lots of books. I'm going to help and teach the body. I'm actually going to go and work for an organization that helps teach people about Jesus. And I'm going to teach people on Sunday mornings as a member of our pastor's council. This is what this begins to happen, is God gives us these gifts so that we don't just use them on ourselves, so that we can work as a transformed, unified body, so that we can participate as members in that body. It's not about you. You see, Paul says later in Romans 12, verse 10, he says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It's not about you. It's about us. And it's not just about Sunnyside. It's about all the churches in Ottawa. And it's not just about all the churches in Ottawa. It's about all the churches in Canada. And it's not just about all the churches in Canada. It's about all the churches in the world. We are one body, not just Sunnyside, but all Christians are one body of Christ. I don't know about you, but that's a little mind-blowing. That the body of God, that God's people extend beyond just me, beyond just Sunnyside, beyond just Ottawa, beyond just Canada, to the whole world. We work as one body of Christ. And this is what Paul is trying to get at to the church in Rome. Are you participating in the body as transformed, unified members? I mean, in a way, today you're participating because you're here at church. But it goes beyond that. This participation isn't just like, I'll just show up. It's a thing beyond that. It's a participation of going, I actually really want to willingly do this. To be a part of this. You can show up, but are you participating beyond just that? Is it a selfless participation? So as we head into this series on the body, let's begin to think about these things. How can we be transformed? How can our minds be transformed to think beyond ourselves? Maybe it's going, you know what, today I'm not just going to pray about myself. I'm going to pray about that person who I know is going through a hard time, or I'm just going to pray about this person that's been laid on my heart. Maybe it's going, you know what, I got this text from this person that I know just sucks the energy out of me. But I'm going to respond anyways. Because it's not about me. As we head into this series, let's think about how we can be unified. Let's think about how we can work together as the people of God. And as we head into this series, let's think about how we can participate. Maybe it might look at going, you know what? I really feel like I'm being called to serve. I don't know where, I don't know how, but every Sunday I feel God saying, I want you to serve in my body. Come and talk to Jesse, to me, or to Pastor Abe about it. And we can work with you. Maybe you're going, you know what? I feel really led to participate in small group ministry. Maybe that's you today. Well, the guy who's speaking today is the pastor who looks over small groups. So come talk to me. How can we participate? Let's begin to think about these things in this series. How can we be transformed, unified, and participate as the body of God? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction it brings. We thank you for the clarity. We thank you for the truth. And Lord, as we begin this series, may we see how we are members of the body of Christ. How we can be transformed. How we can be unified. How we can participate. Be with us. Speak to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.